Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And I suggest you shut up and show more football.
Come on. Pick it. We've done that f***ing! Can we not knock it?
I am flabbergasted. I wouldn't even let him on the bus after the match. I get a taxi back to Manchester.
Again, please don't call me arrogant, because what I'm saying is true. I think I'm a special one.
When the seagulls follow the trawler, it's because they think sardines will be thrown into the sea. Thank you.
Understand what I'm trying to get at. Yes, he was a great player. Yes, he was a wonderful leader. But he wasn't a magician.
Take a bow, son. I mean that. Take a bow.
Well, thanks for joining us wherever in the world you are. My name is Richard Keys. This is
Andy Mullingray.
And this is
Nigel de Jong, aka
now,
DJ.
I've got a dilemma.
Oh.
Because I like to be honest. This podcast needs to be in order to have integrity.
I'd like to think it has been.
So one of the two of my very close friends here has got a dreadful hangover, having spent yesterday and last night.
Not me.
Not me.
Nigel, how are you feeling?
Is it too bad?
Hold on. Hold on, Keezy. I'm just going to pick up Nigel's eyes. He's dropped them on the floor.
I can see it now. Around his fire pit last night.
Uh-huh.
Big cigar.
Yeah.
Glass of whiskey.
He does like a cigar.
He does like a lardy when he's relaxing.
Like a lardy, yeah.
I was going to say glass of whiskey. Bottle of whiskey. And he hasn't done his homework either. I set him a task in the week. Very simple.
Of course he has.
You haven't. You've just been doing it now.
I just want to write it down.
Invites for yesterday?
I just went to messages and there's no mention of it.
No,
anyway,
I didn't get one either.
Happy birthday to Mrs. De Jong.
See you tomorrow, guys. Yeah.
That was it. No, was that even a see you tomorrow? It was just a thumbs up emoji.
Anyway, the thing is, he was wrong about that. Yes. We could see him, but he can't see us.
I'm having difficulties this morning.
I've never seen you in this distressed state. Ever.
Did you ever get like this when you played? Promise. Did you ever get like this when you played?
Only when I had days off.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, but you got like this, yeah?
Yeah, of course.
Good lad.
I'm from Amsterdam. That's what we do.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get on with the important housekeeping. Our audience grows all the time, I'm very pleased to say. So thank you to all of you that join us on a weekly basis. Please do continue to spread the word. This podcast is completely independent.
Yes.
It is ours. It is ours alone. It's not part of any large media organisation. Yes. So it relies on our listeners to build awareness. And so far, thank you. You've been doing a great job.
I did all right last week when I was in Scotland. I was promoting us quite.
You did. Yes, you did,
strongly.
To be fair.
Yeah.
It's available on all of the places you get your podcasts, and you can also tell your friends to ask their smart speaker. I'm going to say, Andy's got one now, so I'm going to say this quietly. Look, he's still trying to work on his team. Keys and Gray, the podcast. You can just ask your smart speaker to say it. Anyway, follow us, of course, on Insta and Twitter at Keys and Gray Pod.
Well, just for now. Alexa, play Rod Stewart.
This is Rod Stewart.
Yay!
No, it'll cost money. Stop. It'll cost money. Now, over the coming weeks, we'll be letting you know how you can support the podcast and the team. This is important. I haven't written this, so I'm as fascinated as anybody to know what the answer to this is.
Yeah.
I'll repeat. Over the coming weeks, we'll be letting you know how you can support the podcast and the team that put this together. So if you're a new listener, go back and have a listen to the previous episodes. It's full of guests and obviously top guests and extraordinary stories from Martin O'Neill on criminology to Joey Barton on art to Gianfranco Zola on Super Leagues to Liam Brady on Arsenal. It's all there to enjoy. And I promise if you subscribe, you'll be entertained with some of the best football stories and debates from people that there are. This week, we're going to be talking to Paul Clement, football manager and one-time coach of Carlo Ancelotti, who this week was talking about Fiat 500s. Did you see that? When asked about the problems at Real Madrid, he said, "I'd rather have them driving a Ferrari than a Fiat 500, which was obviously...
Well, he would rather be driving a Ferrari than a Fiat 500.
Interpreted as a... snipe at Everton.
Yeah, it was a snipe at Everton. Never mind interpretation. It was a snipe.
Anyway.
Right, Carlo. Paul, I used to like you, Carlo.
Paul has worked with Carlo at Bayern Munich, Real Madrid, Paris, and Chelsea. So in asking him to join us, which he said he would do, it occurred to me that of all the players he's coached, it would be really quite fun to put a team together. Yeah. Of the best 11 that he could
think. Yeah, we don't usually do this, but it's a good one today.
It's a good one to do. So that's what that was the job Nigel had, and he's turned up like a naughty boy in the English class. Yeah. Sorry, sir, the dog ate my homework.
Any minute he's going to get from me pens down.
Do you want to concentrate on that while we talk? And then
no,
we'll
not at all. I can multitask, trust me.
You'll be lucky if you can concentrate on anything today.
A couple of things I just wanted to run past you, gentlemen. Martin Samuel in the Mail today, the fatal flaws that riddle this populist fan review. We're supposed to be heading in the direction of having an individual to run football. Sorry, no. Martin's absolutely spot on with everything he said this morning.
Yeah.
But a couple of other things. I'm
hopeful about football because, you know, when you look at what a great job the government have done of actually running the country, it's fantastic to know that they want to run football as well. I'm really hopeful that they can get it
right.
It's
a very good point that Martin makes.
You know, it's great.
When talking about, the question was put to Tracy Crouch, who's been the architect of this report, with Gary Neville, of course.
Of course.
Inevitably.
Obviously.
And a point was put to Tracy, would a commissioner have stopped the takeover of Saudi Arabia? Well, we like to think it might have taken a bit longer. Well, it took 18 months, and the only reason it went through is because the government insisted it did.
Yes.
So how does that... Anyway. What's wrong with Harry Maguire? According to Van der Vaart, talking on Ziggo this week, a Dutch TV channel... I quote, "I talk about Harry Maguire so much," he says, "I try to avoid him, but he really is shit."
He never used that word.
He did. Yeah. I have said this so often.
Wow.
"I can't get away from the fact that United have paid 90 million euros for him. That's how much he cost. Where did they look for him? You'll find players like him at every amateur club in Holland."
That's not Harry Kane. It's Maguire.
Sorry, Maguire.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Sorry. Yes, that was a terrible error on my part.
Was it terrible?
That's Maguire.
And you're sober.
Sorry, Harry. he doesn't like him, does he?
He doesn't like him at all. No, at all. I mean, he can't. He's in the same boat that I am. You know, because like you know, we can. He disguises himself. We can disguise him in the sense of like he's a hiding kind of defender. And we've been talking about him for a while now.
Hiding type of defender.
Yeah,
what do you mean?
He's hiding. He's not taking control of the situation when it comes down to step up leadership wise.
Okay. Well, instead of everybody battering him, how can he have survived so long playing for a team like Manchester United? Being made captain of Manchester United by being crap.
Perceptions.
How can that happen?
Perceptions.
Oh, come on.
Once you get people on your side, you're in any walk of life.
The boy, I'm not a fan. I'm admitting I'm not a fan. I was staggered, like Van der Vaart, at the money United paid for him. I think there are many, many better centre-backs than Harry Maguire.
He wears an English jersey.
He wears the English shirt. He's first pick for
the
England
centre-back.
But what I'm saying to you is...
He runs 10 yards forward.
He does all that, so he can't be crap.
And passes the ball 20 yards back. No. Not necessarily.
I'm not having
The Dutch, of course, have got an answer to everything. bird strikes at Schiphol Airport. They've come up with...
ban the birds?
Not banning the birds. A very cunning pilot project. They've released pigs into a field adjacent to the runway, so they scare the birds off. Very clever.
Well done, Nigel.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
As many things that you invented absolutely. Over the years, we do that as well.
I mean, even Hullet has
the
audacity to say they invented golf.
And trust me, there's a lot of other airports around the world who's going to take that idea
of course
and run
is.
With it.
Of course there is.
Yeah.
Bonding session for Manchester United this week. So Ronaldo turns up with two bodyguards.
Well, he's got to protect himself.
Oh, come on. You know, this is a bonding session with your fellow players. I mean, imagine turning to Scott McTominay and saying, Scott, where are your two bodyguards? Shall we put them on the same table as mine? No, I mean, what's he scared of?
This is before he turns up. So you really think that his bodyguard is going to sit next to him on a table?
No, I don't. It's an exaggeration of the situation.
No, you have to understand
just get in the car and drive down from your big pad in Old Lee Wedge and have a chat and a chuckle with the chaps. You don't turn. That immediately sets him aside, which is what he thinks.
He is
different on a football pitch. He's a footballer.
He's totally different. He's more than that. Sadly, he's more than that.
He's a footballer.
He's more than that.
What is he then?
He's a phenomenon. He's a global phenomenon.
No, he's a good player. I don't remember Maradona turning up like this. I don't remember Pelé turning up like this.
Different times.
Ibra going out in
different
Milan
times,
with
different
two bodyguards.
You don't know?
Sorry, I do.
Hold on.
Absolute nonsense.
Diego Maradona. You haven't seen
well,
him.
Well, in Naples, he was.
He had bodyguards, Kizzy. Right. Come
in
on.
In Naples, yeah. Yes.
And that was
but
a different
in Naples. Where is he? In Manchester.
Oh, no.
So
come
he's going to get mobbed.
Mobbed by who? Manchester United fans.
By fans. International fans.
How does that ingratiate him to his fellow colleagues?
It doesn't. Of course.
That wouldn't bother me.
That wouldn't bother.
Wouldn't bother who?
Me.
As a player,
as a teammate.
I'm sorry,
I can't give a toss.
Get rid of them.
Ronaldo is like Ronaldo, and I'm Scott McTominay. I'm saying, well, that's all right. He probably needs that.
That's the problem. He believes himself to be different, and he does on a football pitch, and he expects everybody else around
about
him.
He has been for 15 years.
Yes,
different.
Andy, I agree. But he's the bottom line is he is a footballer. He's nothing special other than the fact he can play the game better than most people. Yet, that doesn't him aside.
They're not footballers anymore.
He was a fabulous footballer.
People.
You have to understand the game is changed.
The Manchester United players.
This is nonsense.
You can go back and start saying then, well, that's ridiculous that Manchester United players have to drive in undercover, drive into a covered car park so that they don't get mobbed by fans way they used to. So why did he do that? Get out your car and walk. Get a bus or get a train and go with the public.
By the way, it wouldn't be a bad idea if they did embrace the public
game.
And the support that
it's
the
a
public
different
bring.
World.
It's the same game. It's the same ball. It's the same interest. You are just a footballer.
No. The game has evolved.
They are superstars. They are celebrities. They are
nonsense.
Film stars. In fact, they are bigger than film stars.
He's made himself a celebrity. He is a footballer. His core job is simple.
Do you think Messi doesn't have bodyguards?
I can't imagine he'd turn up. No, I don't know, but I don't think so, no.
I bet he has.
It's just ridiculous,
the whole concept.
Depending
on where he goes.
What danger does he believe he's in Manchester?
No, I don't know. Mobbing.
He's going to get mobbed by supporters that love him.
People are in the stands, yeah, and protected by stewards, or the players are protected by stewards. And even then, fans are coming on the pitch to mob Cristiano Ronaldo.
Wait,
Leo
Messi. So?
Can you imagine just walking on the street?
That's always happened.
I had bodyguards.
Here you go.
That's a different story.
I had been
West Ham fans.
No,
and by the way,
you upset West Ham fans.
They were right at the time. Oh, it's nonsense. Come on. I mean,
it may be, but it's
just a
it's a lot of nonsense about the modern game and the way players act and react. They don't. A lot of them don't live in the real world, Richard. I'm sorry, and it's not just Cristiano Ronaldo.
Listen,
it's like hundreds and
thousands. I know we're going back a few years, but when Giggsy bought his sports car and Bex as well, and Alex Ferguson said, "By the way, get rid of them. You haven't earned them yet." That was right. That was absolutely 100% correct.
Alex Ferguson, right now, managing now, would go to the Ronaldo and say, by the way, see that car you've got? Get rid of it.
No, I don't think he would.
Sorry,
the point
sorry,
I'm
Alex,
making, no, you, you're just, you're being silly.
No!
My point is that he would probably say to Ronaldo, come on, behave yourself. What danger do you really think you're in? Driving from Old Lee Wedge to a cafe in the middle of the village. Come on.
Well, he might be, but
pathetic.
That's the way he lives his
it's
life.
It's pathetic. It really is pathetic. He's convinced himself he's different, and that's the biggest part of the problem on a football pitch that he's got with his constant temper tantrums and spitting the dummy.
It has nothing to do with what's going on on the football pitch. You're taking it way too far.
Get rid of your bodyguards, get on the bus.
You're taking it way too far.
Get on the train and go.
He's taking it way too far.
Just consider what you just said. Your bodyguards. Why?
Really? You can't. It's protection.
From fans that don't support Manchester United, for instance.
Well, and where are they?
Well, they would be all over the place in Manchester.
Well, they wouldn't be in Audley Wedge, would they? Well,
no, the ones that support Manchester.
Oh, now you're advocating then that Manchester City fans are going to jump all over him if
any
he goes
other
to the
fan
pub.
Who's not a Manchester United fan.
He's an international superstar. It doesn't matter if you're a City fan or a United fan. As soon as you see Ronaldo...
Absolute nonsense.
No, it's not nonsense.
Gerrard shakes up coaching approach. He's got unit coaches. Somebody in charge of the defence, Macca in charge of the midfield, Michael Beale the forwards.
So what? Are you telling me that's new?
Tom Culshaw's the defensive.
Tell me that's new.
I'm not telling you anything after what I've just been through, the abuse and the bullying that I've just told. By the way, you're in front of HR Monday morning.
Yeah.
Well, no, we're independent, aren't we?
We are independent.
We are HR.
Unit coaches. This is a brand new concept, and he's taken it from Rangers to Aston Villa.
Yeah, I don't think so, but I mean, I'm not saying I don't think so.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
It was not new. Huh? It's been going for years.
It's been going for years, yeah.
FIFA to test automatic offsides at the Arab Cup.
Saw that. That'll be interesting.
But what this automatic offside doesn't do, Nigel, you're looking bemused. Today is Friday, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah.
Nigel, it's nearly your birthday. Nigel, it's nearly your birthday.
I know, because we have the same birthday.
This is going to... So more power is taken away from the on-field officials. This is going to alert VAR. Not the referee or the linesman, no. What?
So another tool for VAR. So wait a minute. So you have VAR in place to check on the official. Mm-hmm. And now an automatic offside technology is ruling, is helping VAR in the bunker that actually have to help the officials on the pitch.
VAR?
No, it's not helping the VAR in the bunker. It's telling them.
Yeah,
it's saying it's helping. Offside. So instead of just telling the referee that and the ref going offside, they're going to tell the VAR offside. And then they're going to tell the ref offside.
If they believe it to be so. If there weren't a situation whereby people were interfering with play, or if the margin of the offside is such that you probably could let it go. So really what you're doing is you're once again diluting the power of the on-field officials.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
Load of golf.
Have we got time to talk about Tottenham? Probably not. Antonio Conte described by some elsewhere this week as a genius because his team bounced back into the game against Leeds with... A bobbler and a deflected free kick. Shocking. Genius. Tactical genius, he was described as. So what happened Thursday night?
It wasn't his team, I don't think.
Ah.
Yeah.
No.
Right.
No.
It wasn't his team.
No.
Yeah. It took a night off from his tactical genius.
And Ralf Rangnick, the professor, the coach who idolises Wenger and Klopp's tactical mentor, takes over temporarily at Manchester United. He turned Chelsea down when Frank Lampard left because he said he didn't think he can have an impact in 4 months at the club. Well, as we know, Tuchel went on to win the Champions League in four months. Rangnick now thinks that 6 months obviously is time enough to have an impact at a football club. But what if he has the sort of impact that makes it impossible to replace him?
Well, they'll do it.
Well, they can't because they've told them they want him to become football director.
This is Pochettino. This is a what? No, so
it's
what?
A 2 year, 2 years after that.
So 2 years after that.
After the interim coach, he's going to be a technical director for 2 years.
And he of course was the inventor of the Gegenpress. I've got it. Maybe Ronaldo could bring on one of his SAS boys to do his hard work, pressing.
So Rangnick's going in for 6 months.
Yeah.
Hoping that he'll get the job, obviously.
Yeah.
He's not just going in for 6 months.
Well, no, he's going for 6 months.
It's like an audition.
As the job, and then he becomes the technical director of the football club.
So he's got your thoughts, you see. Because Ralph's thinking, well, if I go as manager, I could be punted in 6 months.
Yes.
But if I'm technical director, I've got a job for a long time.
Yes, of course.
Well, why? See, what I don't get about Rangnick, and I hear all these nice things about him, and I listened to him yesterday. I was doing homework, Nigel, while you were partying. And I listened to what he said, and he spoke very, very well. I was very impressed with what he said. He's very much a football man of the Klopp variety.
Yes.
He likes to see his team play like that. And I thought, well, that would be exciting if I was a Manchester United fan.
But Ronaldo can't play like that.
Thinking that I could play like that. Yeah, he can, because he's centre forward.
No, he can't. He can't. He's 36. He can.
He can.
Oh, how? He won't do it now.
He can. He's not been asked to do it now. He can.
Ronnie, any chance you can change that centre-back?
The thing with me is...
You just stand there then, no problem.
The thing with me is with Rangnick is that if he's that good as a coach, if he's that brilliant, why isn't he coaching?
Mm-hmm.
Why is he technical director somewhere?
Well, he's coaching. It's in Moscow, isn't he?
Dinosaur.
Yeah, but he's not coaching. No, he's technical director.
No, he's the creator of the formula.
He's like a manager.
He's passed on to... others that he is better than.
So a coach will come
in. He's got two SAS.
And he'll be the coach's boss.
Yes, and he's got two SAS bodyguards, you see, because he's different. So
no, he's not different. He's just Ralph Raniak. He's not different. He doesn't need Ralph. Don't
I
need
really curious how he's going to do.
Do you want a cup of tea?
I've got my coffee.
Thank you.
No tea.
Because we can take a break now before we ring Paul.
No. Because I'm going to have a cup of tea.
I'm going to. Have you got your team ready?
Are you guys in it? I'm ready.
I'm having a cup of tea. You want a cup of coffee, Nige?
I'm
strong black.
How many fingers?
Yeah.
Hold them up in the light.
Okay, we'll make a cup of tea and join Paul Clement in just a moment. So Paul Clement joins us, one-time football manager, long-time football coach.
Yep.
Very happy that he's with us. And Paul, before we go any further, may I introduce you to now the third element of our podcast. He looks a lot like Nigel de Jong, former Manchester City and Milan midfield player. But the condition he's in this morning, he's I think what they say, hanging after a very, very late night.
He's a bit more like Luke de Jong than he is Nigel de Jong this morning.
Well, anyway, nice to talk to you, Paul. It's going to be an absolute pleasure. So don't listen to these two dinosaurs.
Well, what we're going to do, I thought it just might be a bit of fun because Paul has been around so many top players during his career.
Yeah.
Forget Renato Sanchez.
He's doing quite well again. He's back playing for Portugal.
Yeah. He's back.
Leave him alone.
Sorry, Paul.
Paul saw the true reflection there, and it was just ahead of his time.
Yes, he was. Sorry, Paul. But he doesn't get it. So what we decided to do was ask Paul to put together his best ever 11 from coaching at Chelsea, Paris, Real Madrid and Bayern Munich, which is extraordinary to have been around those football clubs and worked with the number of players that he has. So, Paul.
Now, before, I had a wee sneaky with Paul last night.
Oh, that's nice.
No, I didn't ask. I just thought, well, I need to find out what formation he's picking that.
Well, let's ask him because we haven't heard a word from him yet.
That sounds like cheating.
It sounds like cheating to me.
Cheating.
Paul, sorry. Paul, you dictate the rules, formations and whatever else it is that you believe that we should abide by.
Okay. So I've gone with a goalkeeper. Okay.
I thought that was a hardest one.
Ahead of that.
Easy.
Yeah. Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, easy.
Think of the quality.
Hold on. We go back four. Back four. Okay. Yeah.
Three midfielders with a holding midfielder and then two number eights.
Oh.
Two wingers and a striker.
Yeah,
I've got that, Paul.
Well, I've got
4-3-3.
I've got 4-3-3, but I've only got one attacking midfield player.
Nigel, Paul, hasn't got anything because he turned up this morning with a blank sheet of paper having had a late night out.
Don't believe them.
Pissed as a fart last night and he's still scrambling to put names on his sheet.
He's
got
Salomon Kalou at right wing. He's got...
I gotta put Manuel Neuer back on his position. One second.
You see, you've just mentioned my goalkeeper. I don't think anybody's been as good as Neuer over the last 15 years. Well, so that's an easy choice.
Say? Hold on.
Sorry, Clem. You go first.
Stealing my thunder there, aren't you? Okay,
yeah, sorry.
So close runner-up was Czech. So,
I can't believe you've got me Neuer over Czech.
Because he has.
Oh, no chance.
He's a better player.
He's not a player, he's a goalie.
Neuer's the keeper.
Czech was Noise never the same after the head injury.
Why did you edge with him then?
Well, I just think, he can do the things that all great goalkeepers can do.
Exactly.
But I think he took it to the next level with, that high start position, his technique with his feet, his passing range, short and long. And he's a great leader as well. And
the complete package.
Yeah, that's not a difficult choice. Noise,
right. Well, it was for me. I've got my Czech.
Well, you're wrong.
I might be wrong.
Who's in your goal, Nigel?
Manuel Neuer.
So too mine. Yeah. So well done, Paul. So we need a proper right fullback then. It's not a wing back as such then.
No, it's a back
four. Okay. All right, Glenn, we're with you.
Okay. My right back was an easy choice. One of the most consistent players I've ever worked with. Made the game look easy, and that's Philipp Lahm.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's also mine.
Mine.
Nigel?
You see, the trouble I had with Lamb, Clem, I didn't know where you were going to play him.
So I had a bit. I was thinking of the team, and I thought,
you're complicating this.
No, I'm not.
It was only Guardiola that played him as a midfield.
No,
player.
He was good enough to play anywhere, pretty much, wasn't he, Clem?
Absolutely, he had that versatility, and that was because he had a great tactical brain.
Yeah.
But every game, whatever the opponent, smaller team in Germany, high level Champions League game, incredibly consistent.
So he was that good.
Yeah, and trust me, I played against him
and
many
unbelievably,
times.
Unbelievably. Retired at 31, 32.
Yeah.
I think he had another 4 or 5 years.
I bet he did.
See, we've got to put a little bit of meat on the bone, Paul, as we go with these individuals. Was he one of those that actually was good at football but didn't really like it?
No, I think he did. But, you know, in the conversations I had with him, I think it took his toll being the man, being the captain of Bayern Munich and also of Germany. And that comes with incredible responsibility. And I think just the pressure of it all, it's, you know, taking its toll of him over the years.
Wow, what a player. Unbelievable, gifted with both.
Yeah, sure.
Played against him many times, but what Paul said is, I think from all of the German players I played against, he was by far the most consistent player I played against.
Yeah. Did he wear molded or stud? Because you'll have seen plenty of the
both.
Bottom
he
of his
a,
feet.
He had, no, he had a mixed. You know, you can do mixed. Mixed molds and studs. So, but he was jumping a lot. I couldn't even get close to him. And the great thing about him, he was multifunctional. So, if you know him as a fullback, you know he was good as a number six as well.
Yeah.
So, holding midfielder.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people forget that. So when you see Kimmich now, he was the first one to do it at Bayern Munich, you know, in that position.
Now, Clem, before we leave right back, can I just ask you about a right back that I thought about who was in my thinking for a long time? Branislav Ivanovic. If I was going to war, I'd have him.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he's in my B team actually at right back because I did B team as well. I think he's actually a centre back playing at right back.
Right.
But during the Chelsea years, we had such, you know, obviously JT, Cavallo, Alex, you know, they were the dominant centre halves in that. So, you know, he pushed over to right back, but was equally as good at centre back as well.
Yeah.
But, cool, what a warrior.
Serbian warrior. Absolutely.
Did you consider putting Essien in there? So,
right
as to get him
right
in the
back.
Side. Yeah, okay, I couldn't get him in my midfield.
You're going too far right now.
Wait, you're going too far now.
I asked Clem a question.
No.
Would you mind, Clem, answering the question?
No. All right, Clem.
No.
Sorry. I didn't like Essien so much at right back, I have to say.
Yeah.
Nor did I.
Please, let it go.
I'm not saying that you would take him there.
Let it go.
But I just want him in my team and I can't get him in my midfield.
Put him in the position that you want him to play in. In the position that on the midfield. Exactly.
Okay, sorry.
Exactly.
Centre backs, Clem. Centre backs. Was it easy? Difficult?
These are two world class players. I mean, I think the difficult one was leaving out Thiago Silva.
Yes,
fantastic.
I've left him out.
I've left him out.
But right sided centre back. Sergio Ramos.
Yes.
He's in my team. Yes. Left back.
No.
Left back. Left side.
John Terry.
Yes.
We're going well here, Clem.
That's what I've gone with.
I got Ricardo Cavallo.
Ah.
I'll explain why later on. But go ahead.
Explain now.
Because I think he's very underrated when it comes down to being in that position. Because JT was the captain, and he was the legend. He was Chelsea's first front man. But Cavallo, if you look at his game, he had it all. He's a proper warrior. He could play with both feet as well. And he was never shy away to go in a challenge, you know. And if I pick my team, I'd pick
Cavallo.
Warriors.
So you're going Cavallo.
I'm not saying
John Terry. I'll tell you why you've got Ricardo Cavallo in your team, because you're pissed.
No, I'm not. Yeah. Is there nothing to do with that?
He was good, but I'm with Clem. I went with Clem on that. So
I'm with Clem on that.
I'm definitely JT and Ramos.
My left back.
Ramos and Cavallo.
Left back is easy.
I think left back was easy for me.
Easy.
Clem, how easy was it for you?
Easy. But there was a good runner up.
So who were your choices between then, Clem? Before
well,
you tell us,
Marcelo.
Yeah, Real Madrid.
Real Madrid. But yeah, this guy was wonderful. Ashley Cole.
Yes, he's in my team as well.
Yeah.
Coley. You got him. Yeah, you got him. Yes. Yeah, good.
And I had another one, Maxwell.
No.
No. Maxwell's a nice player.
It's a nice player.
He's a nice player. Yes.
And maybe I'm biased. I'm biased because I played with him.
You said you wanted warriors. Maxwell's not a warrior.
Of course.
What are you saying? He's not a warrior.
Lovely footballer.
Nice footballer, Clem said.
I'm not saying he's going to get the pick over Ashley Cole.
Yeah, but he was in your consideration.
I mean, he was in my consideration.
Okay. All right. Okay. Three in midfield.
Shall we go with your holding midfield player, Clem?
Yeah.
Yes, let's do that. Xabi Alonso.
On mine.
Not mine.
Yes, all day long.
Not in mine.
Oh, I'm delighted. Well done, Clem.
Not in mine. I think
master,
you know why.
Master midfield player. Master of everything he surveyed.
By the way, I didn't even have him.
Sensational footballer. Liverpool fell apart when he left.
Yeah.
And Rafa wanted to replace him with Gareth Barry.
I
had a good tackle with Xabi Alonso.
Exactly. And that's one of the main reasons I didn't choose him. He still owes me a World Cup.
Yes, Clem, I'm with you all day long. He's in my team.
No, I didn't get him.
Great passer, leader, tactical brain. Yeah. Really knew how to play football. Not a good athlete, I have to say. Not a good athlete in terms of comparing to someone like Essien. But just a really good footballer.
He wouldn't get in my high-intensity team, I'm afraid.
Who's in yours? Who have you got?
No, wait to see his three.
No,
I haven't got one holding midfield player, so I can't tell you at the moment. I'm going to tell you my three.
All right, okay.
When we do the three. Who's your other two then, Clem?
So on the right, Luka Modric.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, not in my team. Yeah,
and
brilliant box-to-box midfielder.
In my team, yeah.
So he was fabulous to work with. Had a lot of success when he was in the team.
And the other one's got to be
Frank Lampard.
Yes!
He's in mine as well.
Well, now you're there, Clem.
Just, you haven't asked who's my other one. I've got Verratta in my team. No, I haven't. I've got Verratta in my team, not Modric. I think he's sensational. Never gives the ball away.
Well, instead of Alonso, Clem, I went with Toni Kroos.
Oh, yeah. He's my B team one. Very good player.
That was me. Kroos, Modric and Lampard were my three.
Lampard's in mine. Yeah. Got to be.
Yeah. I got a three different ones. I got Verratti.
Oh. Who?
Verratti.
Yeah. Verratti. Yes,
Essien. I think the Essien as well. You have to have some steel in the midfield. And plus, he was a box-to-box. Fantastic player. And I had Zlatan at number 10. Because the striker that I choose, he can't play in
that
position.
Number 10. We've got two eights.
You play with a 10.
I play with a number 10. So I got two holders.
So what he's doing, he's playing Zlatan just behind the front, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that doesn't work.
I had to pick him.
That doesn't work for me. I've picked him, but not as a 10.
Because the striker that I picked, he had to be in.
No, he didn't. Yeah, I know who
that
I picked.
Yeah.
And no, he didn't.
Trust me.
Sorry, Clem. So that's three in midfield. Now, your front three. This is going to be interesting.
Right side.
Right side. Cool. I had some good options here. Especially having worked with like Ribery and Robben at Bayern, but the right side is Bale.
No!
Yeah, you see, I thought about
Bale,
but I've in the end went with Robben.
And me.
All day long. Why? Why have you done that, Clem?
I got Cristiano.
On the left.
He plays on the
right. He plays on the left.
On the right side.
Arjen Robben.
Sorry, Clem.
I got Robben.
Oh, he's gone Robben on that side.
I was at...
On the right side.
I was at Madrid when Bale arrived, and he had an unbelievable first season.
He did, yeah, you're right.
He was unplayable.
Yeah.
And then from there, I mean, I wasn't with him the whole time, but you know, he went and won four Champions League trophies with that team.
Yeah,
you can't forget that.
I think people don't fall in love with Gareth because of his. Maybe he has other things in his life that
like golf.
People think he's not in love with the game. Yeah, but. He's a fantastic footballer.
Was Robben close?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely for that position. But he was coming towards the end when we worked with him at Bayern. So still a good player. But he had a lot of competition when we were there. So Douglas Costa would play and Kingsley Coman would play.
Yeah. Wow.
So he wasn't even an absolute starter on the team sheet.
See, I said that to Keezy last night when we were talking about this. I said the only thing that's difficult to remember was when you had them, how good were they?
Yes.
What stage of their career were they at when you had them? And I didn't quite put that together. Like Robben was at the end and Gareth was at his first couple of years.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that would have swayed a lot of people, I think.
Yeah. I think there's a it's a preference as well. Mm. Like you said, I think it's very important to understand in which stage he got these
players. Here's the big one.
No, left side. Let's go left side. Leave centre forward for the very end.
Well, there's only one to left. There's only one left side.
Left side. There's only one left side.
Do we all agree?
I already mentioned.
Yeah. Agree, Clem?
Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yes.
You can't not pick him, can you?
Not bad, that one. Mm. Wow, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. What a player. Every game we when we had him at Madrid, he would score. Every game. so you got a head start.
That's ridiculous.
You got a head start.
So you started your team talk with, okay, we're 1-0 up, boys, so here's what we're going to do.
The first season, he scored 51 goals. The penalty in the Champions League final was the 51st. 51 goals. It's like 30 goals a season used to be incredible. Yeah. The second season, he scored 60.
Oh, God. That's almost one-on-one.
Yeah, just...
That's just ridiculous numbers. People have the tendency to forget that. But he was just an absolute machine.
Yeah, 40 of them were against...
No,
oh, you can't see that.
In La Liga, though, weren't they?
Tell him, please.
I mean, it's like playing Wrexham and Wickham most weekends.
Come on, Richard. Come on.
Yeah, there's only one team in that league. Sorry. Well, there's maybe two or three more now.
Champions League goals. Yeah, where is he? Exactly. Up there, is he? Top of that as well.
But again, look at the quality of the Champions League opposition in the group stage.
God.
Seriously, in the group stage, I'd get a couple even now against some of these teams. That lot... I mean, come on.
Really?
Sheriff.
Do we really have this conversation right
Sheriff.
Now?
Sheriff.
Anyway. Never played against Sheriff.
No, I know, but played against the likes of.
The likes of Sheriff.
There's some bang ordinary teams in the group stages.
In order to win four Champions Leagues with Real Madrid, you have to go through the knockout stages. So who you get in the knockout stages?
It's slightly different. But
it's not easy.
You can get Porto just as easily as you can get Chelsea, as we know.
Anyway, let's move on to the striker
position. Break it down. Goals against who? Six against Villarreal when they were bang ordinary. I'm sorry.
Who was in the frame then, Clem, for the top end of the pitch?
Dear.
Give us the ones in the frame and then give us your choice. Who
give
was
us the ones
the frame?
That didn't make it, yeah.
Yeah.
Anelka.
Yeah.
Okay. And his pomp. Very, Drogba. Very good.
Drogba.
Yeah.
Benzema.
Yeah. I had to. He was in the consideration.
So these are the two.
The two that are left, I'm guessing, is Zlatan and Lewandowski.
Zlatan and Lewandowski, and this could have been a toss of a coin, but just because of his leadership, personality.
Yes, he's in my team.
Zlatan.
Yes,
no.
Yes, Zlatan all day long. No. Yes. Yes, Clem. Very good. Very good judge.
No, I have Zlatan as a number 10. That's what I said.
Who's your number 9?
Lewandowski.
Me all day long.
Yeah, Lewandowski and Zlatan behind him. I had to put them both in.
So go on, Clem. Why?
So that's based on the period that I worked with them.
Yeah.
I was only with Lever for 6 months. I was Zlatan longer.
To be fair, he only got 30 goals in those 6 months.
Zlatan, I think, is just outside that, in my opinion, just outside that Ronaldo Messi bracket when he was at his prime.
His pump,
100 kilos, 6% body fat, twinkle toes with his feet, can score. It actually wasn't that great in the air, but free kicks, penalties, link the play.
Yes.
Just and personality, strong personality.
And he put fear demanded in excellence. The minds of defenders as well.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of misconception about him, of what he's like as a teammate, someone in the dressing room, but he's a warrior. If you had a game where you want to take someone in the trenches with you, he would be the one you want next
yes.
to
you. Yes. I'll tell you what you wouldn't do.
Let me ask him.
I'm just going to throw one in
about
here.
About Zlatan.
I'll tell you what Zlatan wouldn't do. You wouldn't find him out in the middle of Milan with two SAS bodyguards.
Oh, here we go again. Unbelievable. This guy, did he have something against Cristiano?
No, sorry, Clem, I was just saying, I thought the behaviour when he went to his bonding session this past week with his mates, with two SAS bodyguards, immediately sets him up as being what in his own mind is special, different. If that's a bonding session, you go with only one thing in mind, bring the group together. What he did was divisive.
Only in your head, how is it divisive?
Well, it wouldn't just be mine, I'll bet there's people around that table thinking, come on, who the hell do you think you are?
I don't think there's anybody around that table. No, look at Cristiano Ronaldo. No, who the hell do you think you are?
Guarantee you, I'm there was. Oh, at the end of the day,
give me one name.
Footballer. That's give all. Me, no more. No, footballer. Let me ask Clem.
Let's ask Clem. Clem, what do you think about Richard's rant about Cristiano? It was on.
If you see The Last Dance with Michael Jordan.
Yes, I've seen him.
He's isolated in his hotel bedroom.
Yeah.
Because he can't move. So, you know, yeah, you've got to have some empathy with people like that. They get to such a level that, you know, the fame and fortune is fantastic and what they've achieved. But there's also a loneliness to it that they cannot have a normal life. They can't go down to the hotel lobby. They can't sit in a cafe and have a coffee. They just can't move. And I think he's in that category.
Well, all I would do to counter that argument is Ruud Gullit signed for Chelsea because he got his life back. Oh, he felt that signing and living in the UK...
Talking about 30 years ago, Keith,
no, I'm not.
It's a different world now.
It's a different world.
It is with social media. He's
is
international.
Going to come to Cristiano Ronaldo in Oldley Wedge.
You cannot.
Absolutely.
Anyway,
none at all.
Anyway, we've got Clem on the line. Thanks for that.
Wedge.
Very astute, very intellectual,
Clem, yeah.
And very clever and very right assessment of what we were talking about, Clem. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Clem, out of the game at the moment, but I mean, working with these guys, you must sit there sometimes and scratch your head and think, really? I mean, it's an exceptional career you've had, isn't it?
Oh, I've been blessed, really, to have that, to have had those experiences. Very grateful, obviously, to Carlo for those opportunities. Mm. I enjoyed them thoroughly, but they're in the past now, so, you know, I'm looking to hopefully be coaching again soon, and I think I have a lot to offer, and you know, I'm excited about getting back on the grass and getting involved with a team again in the near future.
Good. Well, we believe that that should be the case also.
Absolutely.
How near? Do you have any hints or ideas?
Well, it's funny how it works, which, you know, one day you think, oh, I'm not sure when it's going to be and how far away it is, and then you get some calls and you think, oh, you could be somewhere in the next couple of days. It can happen so quickly. You know how the industry is so volatile and changes can happen all of a sudden, and then teams need managers and coaches. So, you know, the bags are always ready to go where I'm needed.
And I'm guessing, Clem, that that's not just having worked in the countries that we've talked about, Germany, France, Spain, to name but three, and England, that you wouldn't be restricting yourself to British shores, would you?
No, absolutely not. And I think...
Well, we've done Belgium, Bruges.
Yeah, exactly. I've had a wonderful experience working in different countries and something I really enjoyed. Mm. I know you've got that culture experience now, and I'd like to be able to look back at the end of my career and say, you know, not only had a good football experience, but had great life experience as well, learning, you know, different languages, different cultures, living in different parts of the world as well. I think, you know, we live in a huge, huge, huge world with loads of different things to experience, and hopefully I'm going to have some more of those.
Yeah, well, do you know when you look back, Clem? I just want to go, and you were at Chelsea, and you might have been at the reserves at the time, and
took over from Brenton. I think
I was just going to ask, and Brendan left to go to Swansea, didn't he?
Yes,
and Brendan left. Was there an immediate thought that day he left that I'm going to get that job? He's going to promote me? Or was it? Wow, thanks, Carlo. That was really kind of you. Did you expect it?
Oh, you mean when I went to the first team or when I went into the reserve?
No. When Brendan went, there was a gap there and you filled it.
Yeah. I mean, my initial thought was I really enjoyed working with the under-18 team. And I think at that point, the reserve team job was a bit of a thankless task. Yeah. You had some young players that really wanted to be out on loan. And then you obviously had senior players coming down that, you know, didn't really want to be there. So it wasn't always the easiest job there. The format now, I think, is a lot better. But, you know, I ended up doing the job. It wasn't easy. But another great experience. And, you know, I suppose got me in that position that was much closer to the first team. Yeah. So learned a lot during that 6 months.
Mourinho or Ancelotti?
Ooh.
In terms of what?
The whole package.
I was just going to say that's probably a harder choice than the team you've just picked. Who's your manager for that team? Mourinho or Ancelotti?
Yeah, of course you've got different aspects.
I mean, the two
tactical side,
the
and
two
also
managers
like the man management.
Close.
Yeah, sure, sure. The two managers I worked closely with were, first of all, Gus Hiddink, who was amazing manager, charismatic, and was fantastic at that point where Scolari had left. The dressing room needed sorting out, and he did a brilliant job. So I learned a lot from him. And then, obviously, 7 years I was with Carlo.
Yeah,
Jose, I know him. I know him well, but not as well as Carlo. So I was at the club when Jose was there, but I really was close with Carlo. So I'd have to say Carlo because of all that time I spent with him. And really the way that I saw him manage the elite dressing rooms, with big egos, and I think that's where his absolute expertise is. There's no dressing room that he can't handle with his personality.
That's interesting. And you think Mourinho perhaps, I'm putting words in your mouth, but Mourinho was less able to handle the ego because his was bigger than anybody else's?
No, I'm not saying that because I didn't see that so close up, Richard. Mm. I mean, what I would say about Jose is when I went back to Chelsea in 2006, I learned a tremendous amount of him in terms of training methods and how to get good, intense, organised training. It was a whole new way of working, which, you know, I stand by to this day. Mm. So, you know, all those managers have had a tremendous influence on the way that I've worked.
Well, you should be working,
and you will be.
I'm baffled as to why that isn't the case, Clem, but thank you for spending time with us this morning, and we wish you well. From this point, I hope we're more aware of the fact that you're available for opportunities, shall we say.
Yeah, thanks very much, Richard. No, thanks, Nigel. Clem. Good talking to you all.
It's been a pleasure, man. Good luck in the near future.
Yeah, take care, Clem.
I hope to see you somewhere on the pitch again.
Appreciate it.
Stay in touch.
Cheers, mate.
Thanks, Clem.
I still don't agree with your team. My team would beat yours. I'm convinced of it. Thanks, Clem.
As Clem leaves us, we're still discussing it.
Yeah.
Shall we surprise you?
Yes. What happened was, because I looked at how long he was at each club, he was only at Paris a year. He was only at Munich, he said, 6 months, 7 months, something like that. Yeah. So I knew there was going to be a lot of Chelsea, and I knew there was going to be a few Real Madrid. But I just thought, and I never went with Neuer because of that. I went with Cech because I thought he was with Cech most of that time. Cech was winning everything, golden gloves and all that was going around. And the only two that I thought that were exceptional, that to me, in that short time, were Lewandowski and Lam. So that's why I picked those two. Mm. But, I mean, listen, you could pick any 11, yeah, and you still have a good team.
It was a fascinating exercise, and he's such a good guy, and somebody's got to get themselves either a very good manager or senior
coach. Let's hope somebody's listening, or some listen to this podcast.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
And then pick him up.
Not, because you're not getting a job, are you, the state you've been in?
By the way, I want to just say, happy birthday, my love.
Yeah.
Happy 40th.
Yes, happy birthday.
I did everything just because for you.
Yes, good.
Well
lad.
Said. That's very nicely done. Very nicely done.
Happy birthday from us. Yes.
And November the 30th is your birthday. Yours too, Andrew. We won't be here. But,
four more days.
Is it four or is it nine?
Yeah, four more days.
I wish you both.
Well, you see, Nigel's still at a time where he quite likes birthdays. He's young enough.
Well,
I'm now at the stage where about some many years ago I stopped counting.
Yeah, who cares? Are you going to get pissed again?
Yeah, you're getting pissed?
It looks like it.
Yeah, I think it's. And by the way, if he's not careful, he will continue to be pissed for the next 4 days. He's not going to need much.
Sitting next to him, I'm not feeling so good.
No, you're not. No. I'm across, he's breathing on me.
Thank you for joining us. Tell your mates where we are. We'll talk to you next week.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape.
And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.